The Parable of the 10 pounds, or 10 minas, continued. Parva Press. How did the disciples come to understand this parable? What did our Lord entrust to them? What indeed has he entrusted to us? The 10 servants were each given a portion of the nobleman's wealth to trade with, and so increase his total estate. Each servant was entrusted with a sum equivalent to 3 months' wages, a very substantial sum, in modern terms something of the order of £5,000 to £10,000 or dollars. It was placed in their hands with the knowledge that the nobleman expected them to do their very best with it to further his interests, and that he would return and call each one of them to account. At its widest level, like those first disciples, everything that we are and everything that we have is a trust from the Lord God to be used for his glory. This is the understanding offered by most commentators. Everything has to be used to bring honour to him. So the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 urges his readers then, and us now, in response to God's mercy, to give our bodies, our whole lives, as a living sacrifice. That must be right, for our skills and abilities, our time and money, our home, and our employment opportunities are all a trust from the Lord. They are all to be brought as a living sacrifice and used day by day with the aim of bringing honour to the Lord. This, argues the Apostle, is the only logical response if we have truly tasted the wonderful mercy of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples did indeed spend their whole lives trading in the service of their Lord. The late addition to their number, the Apostle Paul, laboured most of all, devoting every part of his courage, intellect, stamina, and energy as a willing slave of the Lord Jesus, and counting it his joy to do so. However, it is important and informative to ask, with what particular entrusted wealth did the apostles trade with their whole lives? Very specifically, as the Lord parted from the disciples, he entrusted them with a very great commission. Mark tells us that they were to go and preach the gospel to all nations. Luke tells us that the disciples were to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Matthew tells us that the disciples were to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them all that he had commanded them. John tells us that the Lord charged Peter to tend his sheep and to feed his lambs. So here is the wealth of the gospel, the whole building and caring for the kingdom of heaven, entrusted to these weak and very unstable disciples. From the day of Pentecost onwards, empowered by the Holy Spirit, these men traded with the gospel wealth entrusted to them. Peter's first sermon in Jerusalem, under the hand of God, gathered 3,000 men into the kingdom of heaven. Those who repented were baptized, and Peter and the other apostles taught them daily, aiming to build up disciples to maturity in a true Christian fellowship. We learn that from Luke's account in Acts, where we read that these first disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. This is the treasure with which the disciples traded as they devoted their whole lives to it. They did this not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, as our Lord had charged them. It is said of Thomas that he took the treasure his Lord entrusted to him as far as India, and Tiruvalla, on the southwestern tip of India, is the town where he is reputed to have preached the gospel and planted a church in AD 52. True servants of the Lord Jesus, though individually marathon runners, are actually part of a great relay down the centuries. Those first disciples, joined by Paul, entrusted their Lord's wealth to faithful men. And down the centuries, faithful servants of Christ have fulfilled their Lord's charge, bringing the gospel, training disciples, creating a people of God in each place, and then tending and nurturing those people. Their aim has been to bring disciples to maturity, with the ability to reach out and bring the gospel to others. This is how the Lord Jesus would have his riches increase, his kingdom grow. These are riches to be constantly invested, but the supply never runs out. And the result? 10 more, 5 more, or no more. Noting that the master commends the first 2 servants for their faithfulness, Kenneth Bailey perceptibly asks, is the focus of the story profits, as we might easily assume, or is it faithfulness to an unseen master in a hostile environment? Was it a willingness to be publicly known as the servant of their absent lord at a time when men around hated him and did all they could to permanently undermine his authority over them? Did the servant, who wrapped up his pound, want to keep his options open and his status as a servant secret in case his master did not return as king? The 10 servants each received the same amount with which they were to trade. We're only told of the faithfulness of 3 of them. The first put his whole heart to it. His effort was blessed, and he gained 10 more. The second did his best, and his money made 5 times as much. The third failed to trade at all. He just kept the money safe. It is our turn now to play our part in contributing to the Lord's kingdom, in trading with the whole counsel of God entrusted to us. How faithful will we be? What will we report to our Lord and Master? Over the years, some Christians, following in the steps of the Apostle Paul, have been spectacularly used of God to build his kingdom. To name but a few, Augustine, that early giant of God, Athanasius, who stood against the world as he guarded the truth of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, John Bunyan, who spun so much rich gospel truth into that compelling yarn, The Pilgrim's Progress, a book that has been a spiritual tonic and strength to Christian men and women for centuries. George Whitefield, who proclaimed the gospel so effectively in this country and in America in the 18th century. John and Charles Wesley, whose sermons, books, and great godly hymns still feed the church in our own day. I'm sure that each of us can think of others who ought to be in that list. In the same way, there have been times when Christian men and women working together as a team, as a church, or a Christian organization, have been especially fruitful before God. They have been fruitful, first in bringing people under the sound of God's gospel, then faithful in discipling those who truly respond, and leading them on to Christian maturity. And finally, they have been faithful in enabling them in their turn to be effective traders of their Lord's treasure, bringing others to faith and then on to maturity in Christ. Then there are a great many Christian men and women who have borne a faithful but maybe less spectacular witness. Just reflect for a moment on those who have helped and encouraged you in your own spiritual pilgrimage, maybe a teacher or a Sunday school teacher, a friend or colleague, a particular preacher, or someone who just cared and bothered with you. Or it may have been a church where you first saw real Christian faith, love, and forgiveness demonstrated with just a quiet, ongoing, positive influence and witness on the whole community. Nothing spectacular. Yet here is the bedrock of faithful trading, the building of the kingdom of God. Do note the generous praise and encouragement the returning noble Lord gives to these faithful servants. Well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. The reward is his master's praise and more work, greater responsibility. We might have preferred the thought of rest and retirement. However, bear in mind that his service is perfect freedom. It is our great joy and privilege to be about our Father's business. So that willing slave of the Lord Jesus, the great apostle Paul, counted everything else as dung in comparison with this. And finally, and very sadly, there is an even greater number of Christian people and Christian churches who have just kept the treasure to themselves. Wrapping it up, they have kept the treasure entrusted to them uselessly safe, or as they would probably see it, pure. Do note here the severity of the returning Lord with regard to those who clearly know his will, but fail to do it faithfully. He said to him, "I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest?" And he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him, and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, "Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you, to every one who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.